Hello, Ben.
My name's Jeremy Wells, and this is Matt Heath.
Hello, Jeremy, and this is our podcast, The Best Bits from Today's Show. And at the end of it, you go, well, I won't be listening to that show in its entirety if those are the best bits, because pretty low level. Pretty low level.
That isn't it?
Yeah.
When they talk about it being a great exhibition for cricket, it's like, we're all aware of cricket, aren't we?
Massive head of Christmas steam week on the Matt and Jerry Show.
Ah, boy, Jerry, it's been a great week already of steam. Monday with that delicious mulled wine that you produced.
Thanks very much.
Amazing. Tuesday, can't remember what we had. What did we have Tuesday?
We had the eggnog.
Oh, I made the fantastic eggnog.
How could you forget that?
Jeez, you punished that eggnog.
Life-changing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly day-changing.
Yeah. And yesterday I found the brandy actually more day-changing than anything.
Yeah, well, it was quite... I thought the way we handled the brandy was very sophisticated, actually. We poured ourselves a huge glass at the beginning of the day, at the beginning of the morning, and just gently sipped our way through, and very sophisticated. You were holding it with your fingers cupped around the bottom and slot through between your middle and your ring finger.
Yeah.
And you were swirling it.
And then later on, just sort of spilling it as I stumbled around the office.
That's right.
Yelling abuse at people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Things went a bit nasty, but that's okay.
Well, things are about to get a lot more classy, Jerry, because I've bought in a drink that I don't think you can get much more Christmassy. In fact, I've bought in two bottles of one classy and one at the opposite end of classy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's Christmas for me is all about port. You know, port. And I've got some Dow's fine tawny port here. Port, of course, is a Portuguese fortified wine produced exclusively in the Douro Valley in the northern provinces of Portugal.
It's essentially a vinegar.
No.
Just a sweet sort of a vinegar, isn't it?
No, it is a typically sweet red wine, often served as dessert wine, although it's not really like wine, is it? Because it's sort of thicker.
That's what I mean. It's like either it's a cross. It's like vinegar.
No.
With a bottle of Formula 44.
No. This is like vinegar. This sherry I've got here, the Old Masters Medium. Because whereas this bottle's about $49.95, this bottle of sherry is $14.95.
Oh yes.
So that, but opposite ends. But I think for me, Christmas is about port and sherry.
Okay. So what are we? What percentages are we talking here with the port and the sherry? 18, 19? 19%?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
You don't know, do you?
No. It should be written on the bottles here somewhere. Yeah, what a boring question.
Well, I just wanted to know. I've never really drank port or sherry before.
Haven't you?
Not on purpose.
Not at Christmas?
No. Not at Christmas, not on purpose, not really any time.
Really?
Oh, someone gave me one once or twice, I think, and I sort of spit it in their face.
It's really, really, really good, like... just to sip across Christmas at night, you know, later on when you've punished everything else. Yeah, she's around 14%, Jerry.
Okay.
14%.
The sherry and the port, both of them.
Both of them around that.
Okay.
Rough estimate.
Okay.
I mean, less than the 45% that we were rocking with the brandy yesterday, unmixed.
Mm.
So I've got two punishing little port glasses as well that I've poured in here.
Okay.
So we'll be refilling a lot.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Absolutely.
6:41, I mean, what have we been waiting for?
I don't know.
Seems like a little bit late to be starting, actually.
You get like that, don't you, when you're getting a massive head of steam at week?
The agenda.
Later, KFC rolling out home delivery.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
I thought they've always done that.
No, they did it, then they stopped. Now they're doing it again.
Whew.
There used to be fish and chips delivery in Dunedin when I was growing up, and boy, it would turn up soggy.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, so this guy would turn up on his bike. I think there's only one guy. And he'd get, it was great, he'd turn up and then he had this sort of basket on the back of his bike and then he'd open it and he'd go, no, not you. Is this you? Hot dog, 5 bits of fish, $3 chips, is that you? No.
Classic low-level Dunedin operation.
Massively.
And then living. I guess the chips were all sitting on top of each other.
Yeah.
So, and just sogging up a storm, and of course the dampness in the Dunedin air plus the sogginess going on inside the heat.
There's no dampness in the New Zealand air. I mean, in the Dunedin air. Soon, beach bandits snap taking sand. But now, Te Papa Museum, New Zealand's best tourist attraction.
Te Papa Museum, New Zealand's best tourist attraction.
That's what I said.
Not a question. No, you said it with a question mark.
Te Papa Museum, New Zealand's best tourist attraction?
No. Te Papa Museum, New Zealand's best tourist attraction.
You can't even bungee in Te Papa.
Te Papa Museum has been voted New Zealand's greatest attraction by an international poll published in the Daily Mail yesterday. The interactive map is made up from TripAdvisor's top things to do in each country around the world and is compiled by VoucherCloud.
This is very credible. Daily Mail using TripAdvisor's top things to do compiled by VoucherCloud.
Sydney Harbour etched out the Great Barrier Reef as Australia's best. And Niagara Falls, interestingly, topped Canada's list along with the Harry Potter studio tour in the United Kingdom.
Te Papa. I've always found Te Papa a little bit punishing.
Te Papa.
I find Te Papa a bit punishing.
Te Papa.
Yeah, Te Papa.
Te Papa. Our place.
Te Papa. The Otago Museum's better.
It's our place.
The Otago Museum's my place.
The Otago Museum.
The Otago Museum's great.
The Otago Museum.
With the tropical butterfly three-story tropical environment.
Otago
Ten
Museum.
Ten-story tropical environment.
With the low-level video things, video booths, where you go in and you see a video that was produced in 1992.
They're high-level videos produced in 1992.
Using super VHS.
No, that's rubbish. It's also got a Tuatara in there. And also, if you want a really good time, go to the Earliest Settlers Museum. The Early Settlers Museum in Dunedin, one of the best museums in the world.
Where you dress up
and get
scurvy.
All over the Guggenheim.
Where they give you scurvy.
They don't give you scurvy in there.
You go and they give you scurvy.
You can't give someone scurvy. Scurvy's a disease you get by not eating fruit for a long period of time.
Yeah, you go in and they've got that boat that you live on for a month and they remind you of what it was like to live in New Zealand before modern times, and you get scurvy because they don't feed you properly.
There's in the Early Settlers Museum, you can go into this room, and it's got this computer console in the middle, and all around it, it's got all these pictures of the early settlers, like oil paintings of hundreds, thousands of early settlers, and you can go in there and look around, and it brings them in, and it has a picture of their name comes up. And I took my two boys in there a couple of years ago, young boys, and they were sitting there and they were having a great time. They were laughing. I thought, boy, these guys are really getting into history. And then I went over and they'd looked up a guy called Dick Smelly. Dick W.H. Smelly. And they were just laughing, and they're still laughing about it today. Every now and then one of them goes, Dick Smelly.
Was there a person called Dick Smelly?
Dick W.H. Smelly. And he had like massive lamb chops and a bald head. He was a really funny guy, and he was one of the founding fathers of Dunedin. It's one of the big shames of Dunedin that they sweep under the carpet.
Dick Smelly. That is pretty good. Yeah, you got to say, good. I bet Dick Smelly never imagined that we would be talking about him today in 2016.
And I'm taking my kids down to Dunedin for Christmas this year, and the first thing they said was, can we go back to the Early Settlers Museum? You know, they'll be right in that room looking up Dick Smelly again.
You know, in about 30 years' time, with virtual reality going the way it is, you'll be able to get it on with Dick Smelly. You will. You'll see a picture. They'll have an Early Settlers Museum, and you can pick out your early settler and you can get it on with them.
Have you ever noticed that the early settlers of New Zealand, the women looked like men? The women were incredibly robust, grim-looking women.
Well, that's because they had to do stuff that women weren't doing in those days.
Like what?
They had to muck in.
Did they?
Oh, they were mucking in, left, right, and centre.
That sucks.
They mucked in. And there's also hardly any of them, Matt.
Why's Andy from... Andy from Auckland, can I help?
Mate, I just want to just talk about the New Zealand attraction, Te Papa.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bone to pick, mate.
Yeah.
That colossal squid, there's nothing colossal about it.
It's not that big, is it?
Mate, I'm expecting a massive bus-sized squid.
Yeah.
About as big as a woman I might take home on a Saturday night.
Yep. Impressive, Andy.
Nothing good.
It's not good. It's too short, isn't it? I've thought that as well. And I think they were disappointed because they had it on the news how big it was going to be. And then it wasn't even that big.
I'm disappointed in you, Andy, because I thought you were going to be some relative of Dick Smelly. Calling up.
Yeah, I know. I'm disappointed. I'm sorry. But at least you...
Hold on, Andy. Sorry, Andy. Sorry, go on.
Well, at least you got my name right. My caller ID's working out.
Yeah. Well... Caller traffic's a lot lower at this time of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Xander, good morning.
Good day, Matt Heath. Good day, Jeremy Wells. You guys talking about Dunedin?
Yeah, absolutely.
Downstairs focus.
Dunedin's not downstairs focus.
Wow, we're talking about...
Dick Smelly is.
Dick Smelly, yeah.
It wasn't Dick Smelly, it was Dick Smelly.
Are you sure it wasn't Dick Smelly?
Nah, he's German. You just slap in and see him, mate.
It wasn't, what's the name, Fanny Schmeller?
It wasn't Fanny Schmeller, no. All right.
But Fanny it is downstairs focus.
Fanny Schmeller, the... Morning. Downhill skier.
Warning.
That it's Downstairs Focused.
Yeah, that is Downstairs Focused.
Well spotted, Xander.
It's the Fact Factor.
That's right, 7:35. Time for the Fact Factor. Here's how it works. I'll come up with the topic. Matt then has to come up with three facts on the topic. We'll judge whether they're good or bad. Work out whether he has the Fact Factor. Here's the topic. It's Christmas. Christmas facts.
All right, okay. What a predictable topic. All right, okay, let's do it.
Well, we got told by management that we need to focus on Christmas because apparently that's what everybody's focused on
at the
moment.
Is that the topic du jour?
Well, it's one of the topics du jour. It's a relatable thing. Everybody's got it in common. Everybody celebrates Christmas. You've got to talk about what people are doing, Matt. That's what radio's all about.
Is it? All right, okay, let's do it then. I'm into it. Let's go. When's Christmas? Three sleeps. Oh, it's a massive topic. Great. Well chosen. Not boring at all. The 12 days of Christmas refers to the 12 days following Christmas, not the 12 days preceding Christmas. So in the song, the first present, a partridge in a pear tree, was given on Christmas Day. The 12th present, 12 drummers drumming, was actually given Jerry on Jan 5th.
That is so boring.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact.
Who cares?
Me?
Who cares?
Me.
Well, exactly.
Because I always thought it started before Christmas, and you got your main Christmas on Christmas Day, your main present on Christmas Day, but it turns out you get your last present on Jan 5th, Jerry. The 12th day starts from Christmas.
That is so typical of you to be focused in on some kind of sort of annoying technical day of Christmas. That's not even a fact.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Bad start.
All right.
None from one. What's your second Christmas fact?
Christmas, Catalan children of Catalonia in the Liberian Peninsula feed a hollowed out log with a painted face, then later sing a song and beat the log with a stick until it defecates presents. The first line of the song is, shit log shit.
That's disgusting, and I'm not giving you that either. So.
Fact you, Heath. That's fact. I'm invoking my right to a lifeline. 800 Hobonaki. One caller decides
that's,
if that fact
no.
is good or bad.
No, I'm overriding this.
No, you can't. You've pushed my hand on this. Because
I'm overriding you on this.
Because I've got it now, Jerry. It's nothing personal. If I lose this fact, then I've lost the Fact Factor for the day.
Yeah.
And then the hopes and dreams of the Fact Factor Mega Weekly Prize Pack Faithful hang in the balance.
But that was... Well, there are kids in the car listening and all sorts. Oh, no, there's probably not because they're not probably going to school anymore. Good morning. Is this Tim?
Yes, mate.
It's Tim from West Auckland.
Yes, it is.
What particular part of West Auckland are you from again, Tim?
Oh, I'm from Glen Eden.
Oh, Glen Eden. Very Christmassy part of the country. What do you think about that fact?
I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was a great fact.
Yeah, there you go. Boom. Thank you. Psh, got a lot
what
of
a fact.
In West Auckland.
That has the Fact Factor.
Got a lot of support in West Auckland.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim. Great New Zealander.
Thanks, Tim. All right, so one good one, bad fact. Thanks very much to your lifeline. And Tim, what's your third and final Christmas fact?
No.
Terrible song. Can't stand this song. Bad audio.
I think it makes perfect sense to sing to a tree. Of all the trees most lovely. All the trees most lovely.
What's but the big focus on the tree the whole time? It's a dirty old pine tree.
Yours might be.
What's yours?
Mine's an artificial Christmas tree.
I've always thought there's a market for a fake pahoots. Like in New Zealand, pahoots. Like, why don't we have pahoots?
Are the pahoots operating better than ever this year? It's a great year for pahoots, eh?
Tell you what, if you're in the North Island, you'll be loving the pahoots at the moment.
Jeez, they're red this year.
Yeah, great year. But why doesn't everyone have fake pahoots?
Because they don't have the pine smell of Christmas.
But it's not in New Zealand. But they've got a pahoot smell, and you get wasps that are attracted to them.
You don't want wasps buzzing around the lounge.
Just adds to the Christmas spirit.
Anyway, my fact is...
No, I'm not interested.
The artificial Christmas tree was invented. The artificial Christmas tree was invented by a British toilet brush company in the 1930s. An employee at the Addis Brush Company made a toilet brush Christmas tree out of broken product for a Christmas party as a joke. A manager jumped on the idea and the company started production the next year using the same machinery and bristles to make the trees as they used to make the toilet brushes, Jerry.
Oh, wow.
What a fact. That has the Fact Factor.
No, just joking. fact, you, Heath. That's fact. That's a rubbish fact.
Jesus, what a grinch.
That was a rubbish fact.
What a grinch. You've put the your hopes and dreams of the Fact Factor Mega Weekly Prize Pack, faithful, in the balance.
Yeah, that's right, I have. For tomorrow. Will you win the Fact Factor for the year? That's the question.
I like this, because on Friday, there's a lot of pressure on you because there's a prize to give away, so I generally win on a Friday.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it goes.
Congratulations, you've made it halfway through the Matt and Jerry podcast. You reckon it's worth listening to the end, Jerry?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
It's the lighter side of the coffee news.
The Coffee News is the mock coffee stain printed double-sided one sheet you'll find folded up in most cafes, fast food joints and tourist traps across the country. It's the printed publication of the future, which features a lighter side segment where they print some pretty great jokes. Here's this week's crop.
I imagine that these are going to have a Christmas theme actually this week, because there's a number of really, really good Christmas cracker jokes that are quite similar to some of the jokes in the lighter side of the Coffee News. Are you going with the Christmas theme this week?
No, I'm not going with it. I don't make the jokes. They're on the lighter side of the Coffee News, prints the jokes, and then me and Mel Bracewell perform the jokes.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe there'd be a Christmas theme this week, seeing as it's Christmas.
Well, there isn't, okay. Can you put something sort of Christmassy in your sort of performance?
Yeah, you could just pretend it's snowing. Well, I suppose it's not really a New Zealand Christmas.
I could slam port while we're doing it.
Well, you are doing that anyway.
Yeah, well, that's pretty Christmassy, isn't it?
Okay, but suppose.
Better than sherry. I had to spit my sherry out. Do you want
it? That's spat out sherry.
Yeah, do you want my spat out sherry as well?
Wow, I've never had an offer so tantalising.
Mm. It's actually, the spat out sherry is better than the sherry itself.
Well, it's just a little bit diluted.
Yeah.
With a bit of port from that was still in my mouth.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, let's get in. How do you make friends with a computer?
Bit by bit. Hey.
Oh, God. See, that's... To me, that's a Christmas cracker joke.
We missed the high five.
That would be a kind of a Christmas cracker joke, but it's not that good. Like, I'm surprised the lighter side of the Coffee News has not gone with something more like, why does Santa go through the chimney? Because Mrs. Claus told him he'd never get in the back door. Something like that.
Oh, Jesus, Jerry.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I'm looking for a Christmassy kind of a theme.
Jesus, man.
What?
Jesus, man.
What? Bloody full on for the lighter side.
Jesus!
Thing.
Right in the middle of the lighter side.
Yeah.
It's not the time.
We'll stick to the jokes on the lighter side, Jerry. Do you want to do this one, Mel? Because it's a quip by Doris Day.
Yes. Okay. All right. As a woman, wrinkles are hereditary. Parents get them from their children.
See, that's not as good as why was Santa upset when he got a sweater for Christmas? Because he was hoping for a scream or a moaner.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus, Jerry.
What?
At Christmas time?
Yeah.
Going downstairs?
These are the jokes that we tell at our family Christmas.
Keep it upstairs, Jerry.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Sorry.
All right, here's a doctor joke. You be the patient, I'll be the doctor. Mel, you be the patient.
Okay, doctor, I keep thinking I'm invisible.
Who said that?
That's terrible.
He couldn't see me. That's sweet.
See, what is Santa's motto? Wrap your package before you shove it down the chimney. See, that's better.
That's hot. Santa Jesus. Would never say that.
What kind of...
He's a pure man.
What kind of crackers are you buying? Are you buying your crackers on Fort Street?
No, just up the dairy up here.
Jesus Christ. You've really... Okay, we'll go on with the lighter side. We'll try and soldier on. One thing is certain about middle age, you wonder how you got there so far.
See, that's so bad. I mean, this is way better. What's the difference between Tiger Woods and Santa? Santa stopped at three hoes.
Oh.
Oh, my
Jesus.
God.
Some of the 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 women that Tiger Woods cheated on his wife with were lovely ladies. They weren't, you can't just all say that about all of them. One of them had a degree in psychoanalogy. She was smart. You just call her a hoe? Jerry? Okay, this is another play. Do you want to be the chemistry professor or the student?
I'll be the chemistry professor.
Okay.
What can you tell me about nitrates?
Well, they're sure a lot cheaper than day rates.
Failed.
Why?
Nitrates. Day rates.
So I prefer
are they though? I thought nitrates would be more expensive.
That's what
than
I thought
day
as well. I was going to say that.
Is there kind of an overtime vibe on the nitrates?
I thought what do snowmen use to make snow babies snowballs? Was better.
I mean,
You've brought a dark shade and a downstairs direction and focus to the On the Lighter Side, which has been an uplifting and happy part of our show for the better part of a year.
It's been depressing, actually. I found it massively depressing every week.
You're going to get pinged for this. I'm going to Papakura. Good morning, Lisa. How can we help? This isn't Lisa, is it?
Lisa?
Now, who's this?
This is Chase.
Oh, hey, Chase. How are you? How can we help?
Oh, I think Jerry was being a bit blatantly downstairs focused on those Christmas jokes.
Yeah. Morning.
That's downstairs focused.
You would say that, though, Lisa. You would say that. is this Lisa?
That's not Lisa.
Oh, it's not Lisa.
It's Chase.
Oh, sorry, Chase.
Chase has come through on Lisa's phone from Papakura. Lisa from Papakura is being... had her identity stolen by Chase.
Do you know Lisa from Papakura, Chase?
No, I don't believe I've run into her at all before.
That's right, we'll give you her number after this, along with the price.
A racehorse called Party Till Dawn has tested positive to methamphetamine after a race meeting in regional Queensland. The positive sample for the 5-year-old mare returned after it placed second at a race in Toowoomba in June. It's the second horse to show traces of being on the glass Barbie in Queensland in just over a year. Party Till Dawn's trainer Ben Curry is due before the Queensland Racing Integrity Commission for an inquiry by stewards in Brisbane next week.
Jerry 0800 Hodaki 0800 428 75. Best of three calls. Decide whether that's incredible or not. You currently got no calls on the line, Jerry. None at all. And I think that's because a horse can't get on the glass barbecue.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the hoofs. The hoofs, what's going to balance the... How does it hold the lighter?
A third party, Matt.
How does it rotate?
A third party.
Glass barbecue.
A third party holds the glass barbecue up to the nostril of the horse and the horse breathes it in. Or they put a gas mask over the top of the horse and it huffs the glass barbie.
At that size, couldn't it use a full-size barbie?
It probably could.
A wither?
It probably could, actually.
A charcoal wither.
But it turns out that there's been a whole lot of horses on the glass barbie in Queensland over the last couple of years. Good morning, Hodaki.
How's it going?
Very good, thank you.
Who's this?
This is Braden.
Braden?
Welcome to the show, Braden. You're a new caller.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Ah, Braden.
Braden, where are you from, Braden?
I'm sitting out east of Auckland.
East Auckland.
Just in the harbour there.
Yeah, just sort of bobbing about.
Catching some fish.
Yeah, got a couple fish nibbling on the wee twisties.
Nice one, Braden.
Couple gropers.
Yeah, big gropers.
You're not on the glass barbie out there, are you?
Of course.
Good.
Do you think Jerry's story is incredible or not, Braden, from East Auckland, on the glass
absolutely.
Barbie?
Absolutely. Mr. Horsey's put in a great effort there.
Party
Did
animal.
He win a race?
Well, what's interesting,
came second.
It's interesting that the horse is called Party Till Dawn and it's on the glass barbie.
Well, that's the thing. If it was really on the glass barbie, it would be party for the next 3 days. not sleeping for 3 days.
It would be Sunday morning with a couple of punishing dudes with all the curtains closed in the lounge.
Exactly, and then thinking that people are saying things that they're not and then breaking up with your missus and maybe potentially going and chopping off someone's hands with a samurai sword.
Get out the samurai sword.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Hey, thanks for your call, Braden. Call any time.
Good on you, Braids.
Good morning, who are we speaking to?
Hello?
Who's this?
Henry.
G'day, Henry.
Henry, you're new to the show as well, welcome.
Pardon?
I said, Henry, you're new to the show, welcome. Well, actually, I didn't say that, Jerry did.
Yep, new to the show.
Yeah, where are you from?
Southbridge.
I think Henry may have been on the glass barbie. Henry, you on the glass barbie?
What? What is that?
Jeez, that's the glass barbie.
Hey, Henry from Southbridge, incredible or not, that story?
What was that, sorry?
Was the story incredible or not about Party Till Dawn, the horse getting on the methamphetamine and coming second in a regional Queensland horse race?
That was incredible.
Well, thank you, Henry from Southbridge.
Great New Zealander, Henry.
You got there in the
what
end.
What a New Zealander. I don't know if he knew I was calling, Henry, to be honest. We welcome any call.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hodaki Breakfast.
Good morning, Nikki from Tauranga. Driving with your children in the car, how can we help you?
Well, not driving presently, but yeah. You guys have been a wee bit downstairs focused this morning, I've noticed.
Nikki, specifically, when did we go downstairs?
Well, first off, Jeremy was talking about you, Matt, drinking a bit much and possibly giving them the old reach around. And then when we were talking about the places to visit in New Zealand, noticed you guys were a bit focused on old Dick Smelly.
Old Dick Smelly? See, yes. Well, Nikki, maybe the reach around you got something on, but Dick Smelly, if you go to the Otago Early Settlers Museum and you go into the big room with all the oil paintings and you look up the names and history of some of the founding fathers of Dunedin, you'll find that one of them's name is Richard W.H. Smelly. So saying that Dick Smelly is downstairs focused is really undermining the whole history of the great city of Dunedin. I mean, Dick Smelly, we only brought it up because he's so important in the history of Otago.
But I think Nikki does make a good point about the reach around. But, yeah, there you go.
Warning. Yeah, that's downstairs focused.
There was nothing downstairs focused about Dick W.H. Smelly.
Good morning. Welcome to the show, Dr. Steve Newell from flicks.co.nz. Seen any good films this year?
I've seen a veritable shit ton of good films this year. And about a week ago, I got in touch with all the film writers of New Zealand to go, oi, what are the best movies of the year? Obviously, Flix has the best writers, but there are some other people writing for publications elsewhere.
Bottom feeders.
Well, it's not.
Bottomfeeders.co.nz.
It gets the hits, mate. Gets the hits. It's all about the hits these days. All about those click-throughs.
No, absolutely. The hot takes.
Of course, what happens on your symbol list is like, you know, you might have your sentimental faves. Someone like myself may rate Korean erotic thriller comedy The Handmaiden, the best film of the year. I'm actually 100% serious. That's my favourite film of the year. But on these aggregate sort of lists, those things fall away and you just end up with sort of the consensus candidates coming through, i.e. you'll see Hunt for the Wilder People atop pretty much every list over the place. Which probably explains why Taika Waititi was looking so cock of the walk when I saw him in the Greyland Shops having a drink last night. Of course, it wouldn't be about at the shops, mate, at the butchers. It wouldn't be about the fact he's got a successful career. It'd be about getting the vindication of national newspapers.
Yeah.
And in particular, you know, the major entertainment supplement of New Zealand's major metropolitan newspaper. That would be the crown and glory of his 2016, I'd say, that placement.
Absolutely. One hundy.
Hey, I'll rip through this list of the top 10 films, though. Critics are wankers, so the 10th film on the list hasn't even opened in cinemas yet.
Oh.
How typical is that? That's just pompous as shit. La La Land, that opens shortly. It's a Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone musical set in Hollywood.
Oh, Jesus Christ, kill me now. But yep, sounds good.
Number 9 was David Farrier's disturbing documentary Tickled.
Yes. Good on him.
And Tickled's a funny one, actually. Like, I keep seeing on the old Twitter, Hollywood, actor and director accounts that I follow, people just keep discovering Tickled and recommending it to their mates on Twitter.
That's right.
So it's still like months and months and months down the line, it's still getting people going, oh, you've got to see this weird film.
Millions of dollars. That's just going to be a slow burner away from Farrier.
Got bloody snubbed by the Oscars, though, didn't it?
By the Oscars. Probably, though, best documentary is probably the most competitive category at the Oscars now. It's a category that's just killing it.
And they love a bit of worthy in there as well, rather than a bit of sort of investigative fun, you know what I'm saying?
Is the investigative fun the tickling or the investigation of the tickling?
Both.
Good. Cool. Number 8 was attractive alien analyst Amy Adams in Arrival.
Oh, God, Matt.
She's great.
A massive white on for her.
Amy Adams. She's a great New Zealander, but not the New Zealand one.
She really liked my Basic Instinct t-shirt earlier.
You got a white on for both. You like the minister of What's Her Face as
well. She's been promoted. Amy Adams, she's right at the top. Yeah, no, I'm more of an Amy Adams Arrival type fan, you know.
It's good to have options. Number 7 on the list, the only animated film in the top 10 was Disney's Zootopia.
Great film.
It's just mint, isn't it?
It's a very good film.
Not only was it a really good kids film with really good walking, talking, Richard Scarry-like animal sight gags, but it was one of the best buddy cop films of the year.
Tell you what, great Richard Scarry reference. Things that people do all day. I love Richard Scarry.
Oh, who doesn't love Richard Scarry?
Bloody classic, mate. That's
most people.
Number six on the list was Cate Blanchett's repressed lesbian romance drama, Carol.
I got a lot of time for that repressed lesbian romance. I got a massive white on for that. I love Cate Blanchett. She's one of my faves.
I saw her in a video installation on the weekend, actually, called Manifesto, where she performs a series of short films in different characters. Some of them are like, she's domestic in one, another she's addressing a funeral, and all she's really doing is reading out the artistic manifestos of different artistic eras.
Wow.
Is it good?
It's probably the mentalist thing that I've seen all year.
She can act up a storm, that chick.
Has she got the poshest Australian accent in the entire world?
She's a thespian.
Oh, she's definitely posh.
She's fully posh, but she's hot.
Posh as a nun.
Hot and a great actress.
Yeah.
But she can hoon a durry.
Can
like,
she?
Just like an ordinary person.
Yeah, she can torpedo a beer as well.
On an Audrey Hepburn long smoker's pole or just straight from the filter?
I reckon she's probably optional. She might even be a snap off a filter.
Yeah, right?
Apparently I think she could deal with a snap off a filter.
Big on a sea bong as well. She'll get stuck into a sea bong.
Number five on the list was depressing yet hilarious Ken Loach British drama I, Daniel Blake, about a guy stuck in the bureaucracy of the health system, which sounds like the most dry ball, stupid, waste of time movie. But living in this shithole country, New Zealand, New Zealand with our great health system and our excellent compensation corporation, seems a little bit familiar, some of that stuff. Number four, one of my favourite experiences in the cinema this year. I saw it a couple of times, Green Room, the punk rock survival thriller about a band trapped by a bunch of neo-Nazis when they'd go to do a gig. That's one you should definitely check out. Oh, that aforementioned Taika Waititi Hunt for the Wilder People movie was number three.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope he's recovering from that snub of not being number one on this list. He looked like he was having a jaunty hat good time last night. Number two was the Oscar winner and, again, kind of quite dry balls, Catholic Church kiddie fiddling expose film Spotlight.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
And the critics in New Zealand voted Texan bank robbing thriller Hell or High Water the best movie of 2016. It starred Chris Pine, Ben Foster, a really, really good old man, Jeff Bridges, chasing those two young chaps across Texas as they rob banks.
I love Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges in this film is fantastic. He's got this, what can only be described as a charmingly racist relationship with his half-Mexican, half-Indian cop partner. So basically just heaps on the abuse.
Hey, Dr. Steve Newell, do you want to hear my favourite films in no particular order?
Mm.
Deadpool.
Mm.
Zootopia.
Mm.
Captain America,
mm-hmm.
Civil War. Fantastic mm-hmm. Beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue One.
Mm.
Star Wars. I mean, Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
I watched 10 Cloverfield Lane the other night, actually, again.
Yeah, it's such a good film, eh?
Shit, it's good. There's a new Cloverfield next year as well.
Yeah, cool.
Very quickly, there's a film opening today from master director Paul Verhoeven. Director of such top-notch fare as Basic Instinct and Showgirls.
And the greatest film ever made, Starship Troopers.
And the second greatest film ever made, Total Recall.
Yeah.
and he's got a new film called Elle, which played at the film festival. It was one of my faves at the film festival this year, actually. Paul Verhoeven is a creep.
Mm-hmm.
He's a filthy, filthy old man. So it's not really too much of a surprise that he's directed a rape revenge drama comedy.
Jeez.
It's a lot of weird stuff going on in there. It's probably not one... For those that get triggered.
Yeah, dust off your Basic Instinct t-shirt and head along.
Basically. Might see Amy Adams there.
Mm.
Thanks very much, Dr. Steve Newell from flicks.co.nz. Thank you so much for listening to the Matt and Jerry podcast. I know it wasn't easy. If you want your money back, send a stamped self-addressed envelope to PO Box 1945 Christchurch, and they should be able to sort that out in around about 15 working days.